I found great wrestling of mind today as I considered this, as I was working and such, and I had nothing particular to say, but I felt as though the Lord had been impressing me, and separately Timothy and also some others, concerning just the goodness and the need for us to just meet, for whoever is of desire to be under preaching or just under teaching of the Word of God, just daily. But as I thought today, I have nothing to say and just troubled in my mind about that. Hello, Nicholas. I got no real answer, and I sat down because I had about an hour, or a little bit under an hour, after work to kind of look over the Word of God, and I'd read my proverb this morning and a little bit in Nehemiah or Ezra, but had nothing. And then I tried studying something, like maybe God will give me something, and I just had nothing. And finally I just thought, you know, I just need to beg God that He would show me something or show me what to do. And so I went into my room and I kneeled down on the floor and I was just praying to God more earnestly concerning what I ought to do. And I was thankful that God put one verse in my mind. It said, "But the word of God is not bound." And that is a quote out of, I think, 2 Timothy 2, maybe. But it's it. He said, it's just good for the word of God to go forth. And I think we'll look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5. That seems to be totally unconnected with what I just said. But I think that's where we'll go. And we'll see what God will. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. God said also, "Is not my word like as a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" And we just trust that the word of God will do for you what God said it would do.
Amen.
And so here we are, trusting in the living God, that the word of God would have an effect on people. That the word of God would have an effect on you, Josh, on you, Miss Jennifer, on Timothy, on Chelsea, on my wife, on Kyle, and Miss Tiffany. That the word of God would have an effect on people.
Yep.
You know, it said also concerning the word of God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that we cannot even hear but by the word of God. And I trust that this is the word of God, so that for me to be able to hear God, God's going to have to give me hearing from the word of God. And in order for me to, and when He's even done that, then He will give me faith in that same manner. That He'll grant me faith in that same way, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what I am saying is that I would like to exalt the Word of God to a very high place. As I have often said, I have no faith at all but by what these words say.
Amen.
I really don't. And I have said to my father, I said, I despair sometimes because the Word of God is not in my heart, and it seems as though I have absolutely no faith at those times. As though God had completely departed from me and I have nothing. And that's true. I have absolutely nothing but by the Word of God. I love this book when it is in my heart. God help us. God help us. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. God's giving us instruction. And I'm not sure whether the Lord will take me out of this chapter, but we're just going to go down this chapter and look at some of the verses and see what God will perhaps show us tonight. I don't know. I read over them and God gave me some thoughts, but I just trust that God will keep on doing that. But first off, he said, when you come into the house of God, he said, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God and be more ready to hear. To hear. So what are you here for, Trevor? To hear. That's the entire purpose. To hear. He said, than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. Don't be hasty to speak. Verse 3 says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. God's giving us wisdom in that he's saying, a wise man is careful how and what they say. How is a fool's mouth known? By multitude of words. Multitude of words coming out of their mouth. Hear a person and they cannot stop talking. They just have to say more and more and more. And God said that's how a fool's mouth is known. That's how it's known. He said, also, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Now say, I have a couple of vows before God, and one of them is pretty foolish, but I'm not going to change on it. I vowed to God I would not go up to a particular mobile station ever again. I won't. I'm not going there.
Amen.
It had to do with something that came across the screen one time. I was so grieved. I said, I will never, ever come here again before God. I will never come here again for gas. Never been back. And I had another one where I vowed to God, I would not ever play a certain game again. RuneScape. I vowed to God, I will never, ever do that. You know what? We think, oh, man, I said that, but it's been years though. It's probably be all right. Probably be all right to do that. No, God's given us a warning. He said, defer not to pay your vows before God. And he's also given a warning, be not hasty to make vows to God. Be not hasty. But Caleb, you better be very careful about what you vowed to God. I don't know if you've ever made vows to God. Nick, I don't know if you've made vows to God, but you'd better keep them. You'd better keep them. You'd better do them. I sit here tonight because of some vows that I cannot even remember clearly, but I remember talking to God and speaking with him and considering and asking God that he'd grant me wisdom, that he'd let me speak to the edification of the hearers, and that if he'd be with me, if he'd be with me and he'd give me words to speak, I would preach. And God's been faithful to do it. I'd be afraid not to. I'd be afraid not to. But he said, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. And I'm just saying to you tonight, I don't know what you vowed unto God. Looking around the room, I wish that you'd remember some of them vows that you've made before God, but you had better pay them. You had better pay them. Ask God about it. I honestly am very afraid to vow now because of that. Very afraid to. He said, Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? So he's telling you that he's going to destroy the work of your hands. He's going to mete out a punishment for those that have not paid their vows, that have vowed unto God, but really they're not going to do it. They're not going to pay out that which they vowed. You'd better pay it. Said, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. And we'll just think about this one for a second. He said, for in the multitude of dreams, you know, there are some that have dreams upon dreams about what they're going to do, what they're going to do with their life. And when I was younger, I remember when I was probably 13 or 14, I remember telling my father, I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. I didn't make it. But I just had dreams in my head, things that I wanted to do. And by the grace of God, he let me just let off some of them. But some people are caught up with dreams, and they've just got tons of them. They've got all these ideas, things that they're going to do. They've got these dreams and multitudes of dreams. And God said, among those are divers vanities. There is absolutely no profit to them. But they can't wrap their mind around that. They've got all these things that they want to do. They've got all these things that they're wanting to accomplish. And I go back to the thing that Timothy said here on Sunday. He said, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What should it profit him? There is absolutely no profit, even if God were to allow you to accomplish all the things that you dream of. Trevor, all the things that you perhaps think and wonder, like, I don't know, what will I do? What if God just let you do everything that you've ever imagined to do? There will have been no profit in it.
That's right.
If you die without Christ.
Right.
In the day of your death, you will hate yourself for everything that you ever accomplished. He said, for in the multitude of dreams and many words. See, a fool's mouth is known by multitude of words, but also there's just a problem with speaking a lot. There's a problem with speaking a lot. Because you're going to say things that are foolish. I know. I'll get to talking with Tim and Peter, especially because we'll hang out from time to time. If our conversations go on long enough, they're vanity. They just get to be foolish eventually. They just carry on until they're not a profitable thing. We had better watch that. And you know what? You had better watch that. You had better watch it. Said, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. Now this is something people don't want to do. They really like the doctrine that is taught in many churches that fear thou God means just reverence him. They like the idea of just reverencing God. You know, I want to fear God, so I have a reverence for that holy being. I'm very aware of him, that he is a revered being. But what they don't want to be is to be terrified and to be afraid that the sins that they have done, that the foolish words out of their mouths are going to be judged by God, who is full of wrath at those things. You know what he said? Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. God has wrath against disobedience, and he has wrath upon the children of disobedience. We ought not to be caught up in those foolish things. We ought not to be. Said, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He's saying, let me read that again. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. That which the earth bringeth forth. You know what? There's trees and they bud and they bring forth fruit and the crops come up in the field. And everyone is served by that. From the poorest of the poor all the way up to the president of our country and the kings around the earth. They're served by that. It's for all. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. You know, God's declaring something that most people do not believe. I'm very certain my coworkers do not believe this. I'm very certain there are some here that do not believe this. He said, he that loveth silver and love money shall not be satisfied therewith.
Right.
You love money? You will not be satisfied with it. There is no amount that you will ever have that will ever satisfy you. There are, I don't know the stories, but there are many, many stories of very wealthy men who just wanted a little more. Just a little more. And their little more was billions or millions. But they just wanted just a little more. Joshua, you've got a good job. You think, if I just had a little more, you'd spend a little more. That's how it goes. He said also this, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. In other words, a person that loves abundance, they love just to have so much. And God said, they will not be satisfied with increase. As those things increase and they have more and more, they will not be satisfied with it. The more you have will not satisfy you. It will not satisfy you. That's what God said. I go back to this. What I'm preaching and what I'm going through verse by verse is the Word of God. That's why we believe these things. We get wisdom by what God says. You know what? You ought to take some of these things to heart. You know, some of us, this is just common knowledge. You know, it's just 1, 2, 3. I grew up with this. I grew up hearing these things. And you know, certain ones of them I thought, yeah, but I'll be different. I've got kind of a different angle on that. And no, you don't. You don't have kind of a different angle on that. Mm-hmm. Said, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? You know, I often think of that when I'll get some bonus check or whatever will come through, and I'll have a couple grand in the bank, and I'll think, man, that's great. You know what? What good is that money doing there? Other than when I get the receipt and I look at it and I see $2,354, and I'm like, sweet. That's how good it is.
Right.
It's fun to look at. Other than that, it's nothing to me.
Right.
Who cares?
No.
Who cares?
Amen.
Said, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. You know what? I work for a man who is very wealthy, that owns the company that I do, that I work for, and he's a great owner of a company. He's very caring for his guys, and you know what? He's got a lot of goods. But I've noticed another thing. He's got a lot of people that are on his coattails. He's got a lot of people that he needs to give out food to, that he needs to give out paychecks to. Not because they've worked for it. Some of them, no. He's just making sure that they're there. Because he's got goods. And God said, where there's increase of that, there's also going to be increased that need it. There's more people that are going to be there to eat it up.
That's right.
Verse 12 says this, and some of you, it'd be good for you to know it. It said, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. You know what? My brother John Mark is a very hardworking man. One of the hardest working people I know. Works like a dog constantly, all the time, and still just constantly adds more. And you know what? John Mark has testified over the years, even while lost, he had sweet sleep.
Yeah.
He'd lay his head down and be out. Like a nap. Just boop, done. Every time. Because God said that the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. And though he lived as a rejecter of God, and he lived in the filth and the villainy of his life, and you think, surely that would have made him troubled in his sleep. No. When God said that the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, God gave him that. God gave him sweet sleep. You know what? I don't have a problem going to sleep. I work hard. That's not to puff up myself, but I was taught, when you work, you work hard. You work. Joshua, work hard. It will help you.
Amen.
It will help you, and it will make others around you to like you. Even if they may like dislike all of your personality. There's people that don't like anything that I say that still just kind of like me. They can't help it. He said, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Why? He's always thinking about these other things. He's always thinking about the abundance that he has. He's always thinking about what his next move is and what he's got to do with it and what his next plan is. And it won't suffer him to sleep. He can't have sweet sleep. But it doesn't occur to him that this is a curse upon his life. It's not helping him. This is a vanity to him. The man that works for him has a better life than he does. It doesn't occur to him. Said, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. You know what? There are some, you know, I'll go back to the story that, not the story, well, I guess it's the true story of the young man that came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him about the commandments, and he said, I've done all these from my youth up. And then he said, you know, bestow all your goods to the poor and come and follow me. And you know what? That man kept his riches to his own hurt. Yep. What was God's consideration of that man? That he was covetous. Like, what? That was his goods. Those were his. That was his money. He didn't have to give that up. That was his. No, God thought of him as covetous. You know what? He fulfilled this thing. He said, I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. That man was hurt by keeping his own riches. You know what? We need to learn to give when we ought to give. You know what? I don't always have wisdom in that, but I think I would rather err on giving. I think I'd rather accidentally give too much than to not. So, I think as a church, that likely does happen here, but just in case there's one who just cannot give, I caution you, lest that you fulfill this verse and you be holding on to that which you ought to give, but you keep it to your own hurt. God help you. He said, but those riches perish by evil travail. And he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. And he shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. You know what? That is an awful verse. He said that in all points as he came. You know, David was speaking, he said, how does that verse go exactly? I was shapen in iniquity or I was conceived in sin? I cannot remember. What verse is that? In what?
In sin my mother conceived.
What chapter is that in Psalms? Or what psalm is that? 50. Can someone look that up real quick?
Song of Solomon. What do you got?
Psalm 51:5.
Okay, that makes sense. I thought it was 51. I actually did look for this earlier and I couldn't find it. Psalm 51. You know, in Psalm 51:5, he's describing a person as they come into the world. You know what? Since the fall of man, since Adam's sin, each man that is born with a sin nature. You know what? And they come into this world, and they have a spirit, and they have a soul, and they have a body. But this is what in Psalm 51, verse 5, he says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And back in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, he said, "And this is also a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go." He came in as a sinner, and he left as a sinner. Yes?
Would these be the same points if Jesus was tempted in all points?
Good question. I don't know. He said, he came into this world as a sinner, and he died as a sinner. And he went to a sinner's hell. Why? It's a sore evil. It's a sore evil. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? You know, it goes back to that exact same verse that he said, that I spake of earlier, and that Timothy preached on Sunday. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That man labored all the days of the life of his vanity for the wind. And you know what? He was admired. He was patted on the back and told, "Good job." At his funeral, people said, "Oh, what a wonderful guy. Look what he's done." His children named lands after him, or he named lands after himself. Yet in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. In hell, what shall it profit a man? It's a sore evil. It's a sore evil. All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. All his days. God forbid that you be in darkness all your days. You know what? You ought to walk in the light as Christ is in the light. You know what? He said in 1 John, he said, yeah, I think we should just look at it because I don't want to misquote it. Speaking of darkness, you know what? I think we'll look at Matthew 6 first.
First, so we're going to go to John?
No, we're going to look at Matthew 6. We're going to be verse 22. It said, all the days of this man that we've been considering, who has labored for himself and he's labored for the wind and he's kept money to his own hurt. You know what? All his days. And you know what? At one point, Trevor, he was a young man. At one point. Darren, at one point he was a young man. You know, I have been as young as you.
Yeah.
I was one time. And I thought thoughts, and I sat in church and had opinions. And you know what? I began to secretly live in sin.
Yeah.
Trust not to your youth. Trust not to you. One day you will be older.
Yes, sir.
Days will follow upon days, and months will follow upon months, and years will follow upon years. And God forbid that you be lost to the church, that you be lost to God. He said in verse 22 of Matthew 7, he said, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" How great is that darkness? So he said, the light of the body is the eye. You know, in another place he said, "Whatsoever doth make manifest is light." So you know what my eyes do for me? They manifest the world to me. I'm able to see everything around me. They are the light to me. The light of the body is the eye. And I I'm able to see and to look around and understand what I'm seeing. I can see Caleb that he's sitting there. If I was blind, I couldn't see that. And I wouldn't have that light. But I have light coming into my eyes, and I'm just trying to have a biblical understanding of the word. Yeah, go ahead.
When you were talking about being blind, is that the same type of blind like when you're blind to the word?
No, that's a spiritual blindness. But we'll see. The light of the body is the eye, so that you're able to see around you. But what did he say about your eye? If thine eye be evil, so that you cannot see good things. You know what? There are some that their eye is evil. They see the terrible in everything. Or not only that, their eye is always looking for evil. They're always looking for bad things. They are not looking for good things. They do not actually want to see. They don't want to see the Word of God. They don't want understanding. They don't want to see anything. And their eye is evil. And what happens? They're full of darkness. Full of it. And then we'll look at 1 John. In 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5. So, I guess I'll preface this by, in verse 2 he said, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." And I'm just going to read a couple of verses in John chapter 1 before I'm going to go right back there. But in John chapter 1, considering that life that he's talking about, he said, "All things were made," in John chapter 1 verse 3, speaking of Jesus Christ, "all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So God's very life, the life of Jesus Christ, that was with the Father and was put on this earth and was manifested unto them that they could see it, was light. That's why when he walked through, I think it's Naphtali and those other places, and he said, they have seen a great light. They saw the very life of God. That's what they saw. And 1 John chapter 1 verse 2 said, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." But verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light." God is light. "And in him is no darkness at all. Said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Thy whole body shall be full of light. So you know what I consider about that eye being single? I think that's only someone that's right with God. Because he says in this next verse, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, that eye being evil, and our body being full of darkness, he said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Amen.
Not doing the truth. We're lying if we're walking in darkness. You cannot say that you're having fellowship with God and walking in darkness.
Right.
That is a lie. And it is as great a sin as any other sin. It is sin. Said, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." You know what? The Spirit of God giveth light. That's what he gives. His Spirit, it is light. And I'm going to look at back at Ecclesiastes 5 here and see if we'll pick back up with where we were. He said in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 17, just in case we were thinking that this was a righteous man in any shape or form. He says, all his days also he eateth in darkness. This man, all his days he eateth in darkness. I believe we're talking about a spiritual darkness. He has an evil eye. And he's not considered the things of God. And he's done things his own way. And he's performing his life his own way. Not in accordance with the scripture. He has an evil eye. And he walks in darkness all his days. You know what? God's just going to take me back to 1 John. I'm going to look at another verse in 1 John. And I'm going to go back to Ecclesiastes 5. You know what he said concerning light and darkness? He said, he that saith, in verse 9 of chapter 2 of 1 John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9. You know, God helps us to show when we're in the light. Why? Because a sinner, you know that famous verse, Nick, that you've quoted often in Proverbs. What is that verse? I can't remember what
one. The way of the wicked.
Yeah, the way of the wicked is as darkness. It's as darkness. And they know not at what they stumble. They don't even know. They are not aware that they are in darkness. And they don't know why they're stumbling. That's just an important thing to remember. So God in his mercy carefully details to us what is light and what is darkness. You know what? How would you understand those things? How would you know whether you are in fact in the light or whether in fact you were in the darkness? Well, I can tell you one thing. You're not going to figure it out by asking other people. Yeah. You're going to figure it out by reading and looking up these verses and looking into the Word of God. Amen. Actually looking into the Word of God.
Amen.
I mean, actually doing that, where you actually look into the Word of God and look up these verses and study and show yourself approved unto God and actually try to find out what God is saying. And you know what? He said here, he said, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, he said, he that saith he is in the light. So we take off automatically that there's some that say, I'm in the light. But God's going to contradict it. And hateth his brother. Is in darkness even until now. And you know, we have a tendency as sinners to sin. And one of those things is to pervert the Word of God. So what does the sinner say? Oh, I don't hate them. I find them irritating. No, I don't hate them. I just can't stand everything that they do.
Right.
I don't hate them, but...
I don't hate them. I just grit my teeth when talking to them or talking about them. Every thought of them is awful. Yeah. You need to consider. If you wonder, well, I don't hate people. I admonish you if you wonder, why don't you look up what God says about hate throughout the Word of God to consider and see, am I in fact a hateful person? Do I hate? He said, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. That person is in darkness. You know what a saint of God is not doing? A true saint of God? They're not hating their brother. You can be sure of that. They do not hate their brother. They don't. It's not possible for them to. Verse 10 says, you know what? So some say, oh, well good, then I'm not hating my brother. Perfect. Verse 10 said, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. You know, that's the wrong way of proving something. just so you know. That's the wrong way of proving it.
Yep.
Said, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. So you know what? How would you know that you're abiding in the light? He that loveth his brother. You know what? How would you know what? How would you know that you're loving your brother? I like him a lot, and I think really well of them. Why don't you look about what God says about his love? God says wonderful things about his love. He said, love is strong as death. Said, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. You know what is important to remember, an important thing to consider, important to note, that they that walk in darkness are not aware of why they're in darkness. They're blind to it. There is a spiritual blinding on their eyes. They cannot seem to understand. They're not, I guess let's try to word exactly correctly. He said, but he that hateth his brothers in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, they that are in darkness don't know where they're going. Say it more properly. They don't know where they're going. They cannot tell. They do not know where the end of this path will lead them. They must get out of it.
Right.
Why? Because that darkness, what darkness? That hatred of their brother. That darkness hath blinded their eyes. You know what? I think that's it. I think that's it. And Nick, would you close in prayer?
Father, I thank you for the word of God, and thank you for that message that we heard tonight, and that was a very good message. I thank you that we had this time to be able to come here. I thank you for those of us who are able to make it, and I pray that you would help us throughout the rest of this week to apply it and to actually read and actually study and believe the Word of God. I pray this in your holy name.